I hope you can all hear me, and I hope you can understand my accent. Because I've been told when I get nervous, I go off on a real tangent. My words are rolling into each other, and I am very nervous. As the other lady said, I am not a speaker. I'm really hospitality, and I work with teenagers. I don't normally get up and speak to a group of ladies. So can everyone hear me okay? So I'll just share a little bit, first of all, of I was speaking to Marie a couple of weeks before I came here on the phone. It was one Friday evening, and I sort of, what is this thing you're doing with the ladies? And she said, oh, I've asked about 50 ladies, and have you got a particular verse you're going to speak on? And I just could feel the panic rising. No. But actually, I do have a verse that God has given me that I've had for a number of years. But on the Saturday morning, I was going to a morning prayer meeting that I go to. And I was praying in the car. And I was really feeling nervous already. And I said, God, just help me with this fear of speaking to ladies. This is not my thing. You know, just take it away. Just go ahead of me. Prepare hearts or whatever. And when I got to the prayer meeting, the pastor that takes it, does a little devotion before he starts into the prayer. And I'll just read you little snippets of the passages that he spoke on that morning. And I can tell you, I shook from how I'm in there. I cried from when I'm in there, because it was just, I know it was just God speaking to me, trying to reassure me. So it's actually from Jeremiah 1, and it's from verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, just little snippets. And it's Jeremiah talking to God. Then said I, Our Lord God, I cannot speak, I am but a child. But the Lord said unto me, Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and thou shalt witness, and I will command thee, and thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Now that was one of the things that the Lord, I'm afraid of their faces. I mean, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So I just want to pray before I start. Lord, let these words that come forth from my mouth be your words and not my words, Lord. And I just pray for a blessing on every lady in this room, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your presence here already and for what you have done already in this room. I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we go. As Marie's already said, I work in dispatch. I've been there for about 30 years. A long time. And I did become involved with Firefighters for Christ, but I just want to tell you a little of my background first of my home life. I got married to a lovely man called David, and I was married to David for 27 years, and we have two sons, one of coming 34 and one coming 29. But I just want to share with you how circumstances in your life can affect actually your whole life and many years to come, and sometimes you never even actually ever deal with these circumstances in your life. My husband and I started to date, and of course when you're in love, things go, move on, and we both were believers, but there came a point where we actually sinned. We actually ended up sleeping together one night, and we knew we had sinned. We were devastated by what we had done. We asked God's forgiveness, and we said, okay, we were engaged this state. Okay, we will never do this again until we're married. But it only takes one time. So when I walked down the aisle, I was actually 2 months pregnant. So we were both absolutely devastated that we could have failed God, failed our families, and failed our churches, our church that we went to. We were both brought up quite strictly in our walk with the Lord, and quite strictly in morals. So you can imagine how it affected us as young teenagers or whatever. So then it really went to my husband more than me. My husband then, we were married about 6 years, and I noticed he had he was just struggling with his shoot and struggling with life. And he just got worse and worse gradually until eventually he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I know in my heart, I believe that all of that came about from what had happened before we were married. He just couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle how he had failed and how he had failed me as his wife. So he just struggled on, and for 10 years we struggled without medication. He wouldn't get help. And then eventually he had a major breakdown and ended up in psychiatric care. And yet it was amazing because he was coming to me with his Bible. He was reading, quoting verses and stuff, but yet his mind was all over the place, you know. So when he came out of psychiatric, we had another 10 years together, praise God, and he was still quite ill, and we struggled as a family. But praise God, in that time, he saved my two sons. Paul was 16 and Brian was 12. They both came to know the Lord, and so we just worked ahead as a family. But from that time, the last 10 years, my husband never worked. He just couldn't cope with society, so he never worked again. So I was the main breadwinner. One morning I had finished my shift in work, and I'd come home and I was chilling out for a few days, and my husband went off to do some work up in our outhouses, our sheds, and he didn't return. Now a couple of months before this, it was really getting to me. His illness was really, because of his illness, he was very possessive, controlling, and would have said things to me, and I know he didn't mean to say them, but I, unannounced to myself, was being worn down and beaten down. And it was things like, you know, when he'd heard of someone who'd had to get married or something like that, he would have said, oh, it is always the woman's fault, you know, it's always the woman. Wasn't it Eve that tempted Adam? And, you know, things like this that were said to me that put me down. And I was building a mask that I didn't know I was building. Around adults, around men, around women. I felt dirty around men. I felt unworthy around wives and women. I just felt, you know. So, and I love that piece about the sweet fragrance, because I never felt like that until quite recently, believe you me. I just felt like a horrible, sinful woman. Even though I'd asked God to forgive me, it still is very difficult to move on from things that happen in our lives. So anyway, my husband disappeared, and I got quite concerned. So, as I say, 2 months before, I had sat in my garage, and I was crying out to God. I said, God, I cannot take this. I can't take any more of it. Just make it stop. I didn't ask him to take my husband, or I had been praying for healing. I just said, make it stop, God, please make it stop. And then that particular morning, I couldn't find him, so I went looking. So I actually found him in one of our sheds, and he had taken his own life. He had hung himself. Now, when I walked in and saw him, I didn't feel afraid, or I just felt two hands on my shoulder, just taking it away and saying, okay, you don't have to do it anymore, Lorraine. It's gone. But then all the guilt and all the stuff that kicks in, you know. But that morning before he died, I had actually walked in on my husband in the morning in our bedroom having his quiet time. And that had never happened before. And I walked in and he was on his knees at the side of the bed. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I've disturbed you. And like 3 hours later, I'd find him in a shed. And it is confusing, but I believe I was meant to see that for purpose. I believe God was telling me, Lorraine, it has stopped and I've taken him home. He's healed now. You can go on ahead and live your life and be the person that I want you to be. So I just left it in the Lord's hands, and he got us through the funeral. Everything was just so amazing. And then I struggled, and 2 weeks later or so, my son came home from church with a little tape, and he said, Mom, I think you should listen to this. I think it is for us. So I played it, and the pastor was talking. And I don't know whether you people believe this or not. I just meant it was for me. The pastor was talking from Hebrews about the Lord chastening those whom he loves. And he said, you know, I believe some people can go before their time. He said, because the Lord chastens those whom he loves, but there are some people whom he just can't chasten. And you know what he does with them? He takes them home. And I felt that was a message for me as well, that he was confirming that he had taken David home and that he would be healed in heaven, and all this mental stuff that was going on in his head would go. So anyway, lost myself here as usual. that's when I got this. Do you see your little favours on your table? If you lift them and read the verse on the back of them. If someone would like to read it out for me, would you like to read it out for me, Crystal?
Sure.
Because I haven't got my glasses on.
Okay.
Do you want the microphone?
I'll just read it really loud. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. 1 Peter 5:10.
Yeah, shortly after he died, he gave me that verse. I carried it about in my purse, and I just clung to it because I said, I know God. This is going to be a struggle for me to overcome this mask I have now put on. But I believe you are going to restore me. So as the word said, and by his grace, particularly this week, this word grace has been in my mind. And everything I'm reading, Marie bought me a beautiful little bag of goodies. In it there's a journal, and it's all about grace. Every little page has grace, grace. And you know what grace means? It means something that's freely given to you that you don't deserve. So, you know, by his grace, I don't know. Anyway, during that time of healing, I went to my son's church. It's a Pentecostal church, and I just sat in the balcony. And I feel ashamed to say, for 5 years, I just sat there. 5 years, I just wept and cried and let him speak to me. And let him heal me. So there's a couple of little pieces that the Lord, little songs, and I'm not very good at singing without music. I will try and just sing these two little pieces, and I hope you can understand where I'm coming from, the words of these little pieces that helped with my healing. I have a Father, he calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I roam. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. And then there's another little one. In his presence, there is everything that I need for my soul. There is and the words beautiful. Yeah. I thought those words were so, so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. So, I now want to move on a little bit to how I ended up here in America doing what I'm doing now and meeting all these lovely girls' husbands and now the wives. Shortly after my husband died, I went to live with my mum for a while. She was quite ill. So I went to stay with her, and I ended up with her for 10 months. And I remember standing in the bedroom and saying, Lord, I feel like a Job. I lived in a big bungalow in the country, and I had rented it out because it was so far out and the weather was quite bad. I was now looking after my sick mother, I was living out of black bin bags, had all my clothes, and my sons were away, one was married, one was at university, and I just felt so bereft and lonely, and I said, God, there must be something you're doing this for, there must be a reason for all of this. I said, God, if you want me for something, I'm still in my 40s, I'm still quite young, I says, I'm here, just take me, use me, have me, I want to serve you. So a couple of months later, my brother Malcolm, who's been very instrumental in my life, contacted me and said, how do you feel about doing a mission trip to England, Lorraine, with Walk of a Thousand Men? And I went, men, I'm a woman. He says, no, they've started to take on board ladies. He says, would you like to come? And I, well, I've never done anything like this before. So I agreed. So I ended up in England on this mission trip on a team of ladies, which was amazing. And we went out one night to a special evening at church. And this man came up to me at the end of the service, and he reached me this beautiful, I'm wearing it today, this beautiful silver cross. And he said, I fashion silver, and I believe it's made out of a silver teaspoon, actually. I fashion silver for family and friends, but I don't often give it away. But I was coming out tonight, and he says, I felt God saying, I want you to take that cross with you, because I want you to give it to someone you feel led to give it to, because I want it to travel. And he said, I feel led to give this cross to you. And I went, uh-uh. And my team leader behind me said, you take it as a blessing from God. And I'm going, no, I'm not a traveler. I'm a country girl. I've never been anywhere. And, you know, I had no desire to travel or go anywhere. And so anyway, and also, I was one of these ladies who, I was unworthy to wear crosses. I never had any desire to have a cross as jewellery, because I thought, I'm not good enough to wear one of those. So there was all sorts of reasons, and that's why I knew it was totally from God. So anyway, from that time, I have been to so many places. I have been to, this is my second time in LA. I've been to Vancouver, Vancouver Island. I've been to Chicago, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, all in the space of about 6 years. And I didn't ask for it. People just came up and said, would you come with us on a mission trip? Would you, whatever? So God has been awesome. I know, I take my cross as my witness that that's what he wants me to do. So he's brought me here from Ireland. So how I got involved with Firefighters for Christ, I have known Marie and Victor and some of the ladies and their husbands came over, I think it must be 3-4 years ago. They were coming over to do some mission work with our guys on the stations. And Robert Blair, who's sort of in charge of the Northern Ireland chapter, as you call it, he didn't know where he was going to put them. He didn't want to put them in a hotel. He wanted to put them up somewhere where they would be more close together and we could have devotion times together and all of that. So he ended up booking this centre called the Moy Allen Centre, but it was all self-catering. And believe it or not, that particular weekend that it was booked, I had been, because I do that sort of thing with kids, I had been there with 60 people, 42 Scripture Union kids from this local high school, and the praise and worship team, and I had cooked for those 60 people, which is something I had never done before as well. And I came home on the Sunday night. While we were there on the Sunday, just leaving, one of our team happened to say to the people who own the place, you know, is this all Christian groups? What sort of people come to stay with you? Oh, all sorts. We've just booked for a group of firefighters. Well, my ears, firefighters. So I came home and I sort of went to bed, but I was wrestling through the night. On the Monday morning, real early, I was still in bed and I phoned Robert and I said, Robert, have you just booked with the Moy Allen Centre? Oh, yeah. He says, and I says, well, what are you going to do about feeding them? I don't know, Lorraine. I says, well, and I just felt, and I don't normally do this. God just has to back me into a corner. I know what you're going to do with them. I says, I've just been there. I know where everything is. I says, I'll volunteer to come and cook for them on my leave set. So that's how it all started for me, There was 23 of them came, I think, that first time, and they brought their wives. So then a dear friend of mine, Janice, who would love to be here, her and I got together and decided we would do some stuff with the ladies while the guys were on the stations. So we took the ladies out sightseeing, shopping. We had some ladies' events and things like that, little bits and pieces for the ladies, and we just had a wonderful time with the ladies. And then they came back last year without their wives. I don't know why they came back without their wives. But they left the wives behind and came back last year. And we took them to another centre. And again, it just sort of was took for granted that Lorraine would do the cooking and the catering for them again. So I ended up doing that. So, I mean, I have made... But that was a start, I believe, of God healing me and taking this mask away around adults. Because I had built this mask around myself, I couldn't cope around ladies and men. I just, you know, if I'd walked into a room and there were a group of kids in that corner, and a group, I went to the teenagers. I couldn't sort of handle. So anyway, when I agreed to cook for these firefighters, I went, American men, they're big, they're bold, they're in your face. That was my perception of American men. Lord, how am I going to cope with these big men bearing? Oh, I can't do this, I can't. But you know, God is so gracious. You have wonderful husbands, beautiful husbands. They were so respectful. It was ma'am and lady, and I'd never been called that before. I was up there somewhere the whole time they were here. And then when I got to meet the ladies, and you know, it's just, God is he is a gracious God. And I know I would have liked to have talked later in that little verse, but you know, we do struggle so much with things in our lives, and you know, we hide behind little masks, and we think we're not good enough. We think we're unworthy. Maybe something in our past that's blocking us from having that beautiful freedom in the Lord. And you know, it doesn't have to be like that. You can have such a beautiful relationship with Him if you just open up your heart and let Him clear all the clutter away and let you have this beautiful freedom. And He is such a gracious and loving Lord. And I think that's about all I have to say. But I just feel that there's none of you here by coincidence. I know that. I know God has brought each one of you here, and I don't want to freak anyone out. I'm not going to ask for shows of hands or anything like that, but I just feel I want to pray a prayer. And if there's any lady here who is going through a tough time, who doubts her salvation, who isn't saved, who would like to have God in their lives, because I'm telling you, it's the best thing in your life. He has healed me so much. He has given me so much. He has blessed me. He has given me hope and purpose beyond all my imaginations, and I couldn't have done it my own. Couldn't have done it without a beautiful, loving, gracious Heavenly Father to do that for me. So I hope you allow me to pray with you, then pray for you. And if you feel like praying this prayer, just pray it into yourselves. And it would be lovely if you did share it with someone later, that you asked God into your life, or you reaffirmed your salvation, or whatever. He's speaking to you now, so I just hope that you will do that. And then when I finished, I've been listening to this CD a lady friend lent me, and there's a beautiful piece on it, and it's just all about God's grace, and about just different things when you meet people, how you deal with sort of things, and how He brings you through stuff. And He just keeps using this word grace all the time. I thought it was a beautiful piece to end on, to finish on. So if you just would bow your heads and allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've come here today, Lord. I've come to this lady's tea, Lord. Lord, I maybe was invited along by another friend, Lord. But I'm here, Lord, and I don't know why I'm here. But, Lord, I want what these other ladies have, Lord. I want you to come into my life, Lord. I want you to come into my heart, Lord. I want you to take over, Lord. I want you to heal everything in my life that has been blocking me from having a future, a hope, a purpose, Lord. Lord, I give it all up to you, Lord. I want to hand my life to you. I ask that you would send your son, Jesus, into my life, Lord, that he would just take control, come and dwell in my innermost being, in my heart, Lord, that he would just guide and direct me wherever I go, whatever I do, Lord, that he will take control. I will allow him to do that, Lord, that he will forgive me, that you will forgive me of everything, Lord, that I have done in the past, Lord. This is a new chapter in my life, Lord. Lord, I'm just handing it to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for this group of ladies, Lord. I thank you for bringing each one here. I thank you, Lord, for the ladies who have worked so hard, Lord, to make this the day that it is. And Lord, they've done it in your name and for your praise and glory and kingdom. I thank you for Crystal who sang, Lord. Her pieces were so beautiful and so appropriate for what I'm speaking about, Lord. I thank you so much for that, Lord. I thank you for bringing me the whole way across from Northern Ireland, Lord. Just to bring your word, Lord, to these beautiful ladies. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I feel one of them. I feel your beauty. Lord, I feel a part of a family of women. For such a long time, I have loved that, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.